Welcome to Tahoe Project. I'm your host, Michelle Sweeney, and this is part five in the conversation with Bob Larson, staff environmental scientist at the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board. You've mentioned several times in this conversation that return on investment is a big factor in this, in the implementation of the total maximum daily load, that that's where there's a departure from 10 years ago, that we have a better handle as agencies, people in the basin, on what kind of return we're getting for investment in terms of the clarity of Lake Tahoe. What does that mean to you here within Lahontan, and what does that mean to the implementers in the basin?
The previous regulatory structure was such that local government had to do everything everywhere at all times, essentially. The way that the requirements were set up was that they had to treat all of the stormwater from everywhere in their jurisdiction to meet that numeric standard. What the TMDL has provided us with are the tools to better understand how important it is to prioritize, that doing everything everywhere is really not the best approach, and is certainly not the most cost-effective approach, because not everywhere is a problem. There are portions of the basin that don't drain directly to the lake. There are portions that don't drain directly to rivers and streams. And it doesn't make sense to put our implementation dollars in those areas where it doesn't make sense. We also have a better understanding of the relative impact of residential areas versus commercial areas and roadways. And so when we're talking about where to put our dollars, it doesn't matter as much to deal with maybe some of the residential areas that are less traveled and have a lower pollutant loading than some of the commercial areas and higher traffic roadways. So the prioritization is critical. And again, having the tools, giving local government the tools to demonstrate how they can prioritize their actions, where they can put their limited dollars to make the biggest difference, I think is probably the hugest shift that we've seen. And we saw that before the implementation, before the TMDL was approved even, people were starting to think a lot more critically about where to put their money and making sure that we weren't just doing a project for a project's sake, but that project was actually addressing a problem, that there was actual pollutants getting to the river, getting to the lake itself, and that the actions that we are going to take are going to address that problem in some way. A lot of those tools are modeled estimates, and so again, we have this opportunity where we can estimate the benefit of taking one action over another, and so we can start to have a more informed and objective conversation about the relative costs and benefit of doing something in one place versus another, that we didn't have those tools before that to have that conversation.
So you mentioned modeled estimates, and that there has been a good bit of conversation among policymakers about basing future actions on modeled estimates. And so it implies that this sort of continual improvement conversation implies that there is an assessment going on of those estimates, and there's some calibration that happens to make the estimates less estimated and more calculated over time. That too has a pretty significant price tag with it, right?
Yeah, monitoring is not cheap, is what it boils down to. I think that by necessity, we have to use these numeric models to give us an understanding of the big picture, to kind of smooth out the variability associated with natural hydrology. Again, the variability of a big winter versus a small winter, trying to get the sort of 30,000 foot view of what's happening to the lake and the hydrology requires the use of these numeric modeling tools. That said, we do want to make sure that what we're putting into those models makes sense, and that what's coming out of them also makes sense. So there's water quality monitoring that's needed to help us inform those modeling tools at a number of different scales. We need to continue to monitor the lake, we need to continue to monitor the streams and rivers that flow into the lake, and we need to monitor the stormwater itself to make sure to determine whether or not the stormwater quality is improving in the way that we anticipate. We also need to do what we call condition assessments, or just physical inspections of the roadways and our treatment BMPs, to make sure that they are functioning in a way that is consistent with the way that they were modeled. So if we said that a treatment BMP is going to infiltrate at a certain rate, or that it is going to achieve a certain level of water quality, there are things that we can do that are relatively cheap, that are, you know, simple physical observations that can help give us a sense of whether it's functioning in a way that's consistent with the way it's modeled. And then we can do more intensive water quality monitoring to then calibrate and validate those models over time. But as you said, it's pretty expensive. We're fortunate that some of those grant dollars are available specifically for monitoring, and there is an effort called the Regional Stormwater Monitoring Program that's intended to sort of bring all the monitoring partners together to, again, help prioritize how we can best use limited funds to answer some of the questions that we need from those limited monitoring dollars.
Mm-hmm. So there are sources of funding out there for monitoring. We anticipate that they'll continue to exist. They only address part of the issue, and once again, the issue of this being an ongoing endeavor, integrating it into the daily lives of those working on this problem is a big piece. And of course, monitoring has been over months a big piece of the debate at the policy level among those who are looking at the regional plan update for Tahoe. I assume that behind the debate too, there's a lot of strategy making in terms of finding other sources of funds and involving people in solution making on that.
It's a reasonable expectation that folks have that we need to have some assurance that we're actually seeing the water quality improvement that we think is happening. And again, the modeling tools give us a good sense of what we think is going to happen, and again, provide us with invaluable opportunities to prioritize and evaluate different alternatives. But yeah, we need to actually measure it. And so I think that's a reasonable expectation. And I think the debate or the comments that have been raised in relation to the RPU are valid. Again, the question of dollars is also valid. And while we can look into the future and say, well, for the next 5 years, we have grant dollars in place that can meet that need, the question of ongoing monitoring is something that we're going to continue to discuss in terms of how to fund that. Again, local government has a role to play, as does both the federal and state government. So hopefully working together as, you know, with our regional partners, we can come up with a strategy to figure out what level of monitoring is necessary to help us get, you know, get some of those answers that folks want to see and try to match the available dollars with that minimum level of monitoring.
Anything else you'd like to leave us with on the subject of the TMDL and progress forward?
No, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, and it's been fantastic to work on this project for the last 10 years or so, and I'm looking forward to continued work with everyone and all of our partners to improve Lake Tahoe's transparency. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening at tahoeproject.org. This has been The Conversation with Bob Larson, staff environmental scientist at the Lahontan Regional Water Quality Control Board.